Brett, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Good to be on your show. You know that musical bit you were playing coming out of the break?
The Brass Bonanza? I love it.
I grew up in New England.
Oh, yeah, the whale.
I had friends of mine were Whaler fans. They used to play that song. Yeah.
I'm a diehard Whalers fan. I'm not even joking. I am wearing a Violent Gentleman's Hartford Whalers t-shirt right now, and I'm actually drinking out of a Hartford Whalers cup. No, I'm a huge Whalers fan. So we play it every Friday on Positive Friday. Gets people going. It's impossible not to be in a good mood after you hear that song.
That's right. Unless you wish the Whalers are still in Hartford.
Well, that's true. You try to block that part out of it. I want to start with the head coach in New Orleans, Sean Payton, who's been there since 2006. It was pretty long tenure. There's not many coaches that last a whole decade, you know, in one city. And they, of course, have had a lot of success. The past two seasons, though, 7-9, not what they want, considering the previous 4 years, the fewest wins they had was 11. What are the Saints better this year? What do they have to do to get back to being a double-digit win team?
Well, they have to block better on the offensive line. Both of them are in the pass, and they have to get more pressure on the quarterback. It looks like they're pretty solid at the skill positions. But, you know, football, I mean, the foundation of winning football tends to be on the line of scrimmage. And they've struggled there the last couple of years, and it looks like they might struggle again based on the preseason. Of course, you know, the blocking schemes and rushing schemes are much more vanilla. So I think the good thing about this 0-4 preseason for the Saints is that they were able to identify the weaknesses they're going to have to try to cover up with scheming in the regular season. And, you know, so I don't know. It seems like in terms of youth and skill, they're going in the right direction. In terms of character, they're going in the right direction. But they're still in a bit of a transition period. I'm not sure how quickly they're going to get out of it.
So based on that, not expecting them to have a big turnaround season. Now, when you have Drew Brees, obviously you have a chance. Snead and Cooks, and no, they bring in Fleener this year. How has he looked so far fitting into that New Orleans offense? And is he somebody that maybe can replace all those big catches that Jimmy Graham used to have?
Potentially, and that was the idea. You know, I think that he's looked intermittently brilliant in Saints camp. And other times just disappeared in practice during 11-on-11s for whatever reason. There's this prevailing sentiment that he just hasn't quite developed the chemistry that they thought he would with Drew yet, or maybe even necessarily understand the nuances of Peyton's scheme. It's probably unfair to him because everyone has their strengths and weaknesses, but you have a talented guy coming out of Stanford, you think, oh, he's smart, he'll get it right away. But it doesn't always work that way, so... but there have been plays where they've hooked up and it looks great. And so that's good. In terms of the receiving game also, their second round pick out of Ohio State, Michael Thomas, has made some spectacular catches. He's the real deal talent-wise again. Fantastic hands, tall, good burst, you know, quickness coming out of his breaks. If you throw it in his direction away from the leverage that the defensive back has, there's a really good chance that he will make some kind of spectacular, you know, reach and grab with one hand or whatever the case is just to come up with it. So that's good too. But the key is, you know, Drew Brees still has to be able to see the receiver's routes and throw with his feet set and not be running for his life, you know, 2 seconds after the snap.
We're joined by Brett Martell from the AP, taking a look at the New Orleans Saints. If the game is on the line, say it's third and long, who is Drew Brees' number one target?
At this point, it's really tough to say. I'd be inclined to say Brandon Cooks until he gets a little more comfortable with Fleener and Thomas. Because the thing about Fleener and Thomas is that they have the height and the wingspan that Cooks doesn't have. And when you're talking about quick possession throws, those might end up being the guys. But right now, I'd say it's Brandon Cooks. And Willie Snead is also very crafty. The thing about Brees is that, you know, the question you asked is a great question, and I hate to give a cop-out answer, but he's so democratic in his distribution of the football. It really depends on the alignment of the defense and which receiver it favors. That's where he's most likely to go with the ball.
This past draft, the Saints went with Sheldon Rankin's defensive tackle. He went down in the training camp, but he'll be ready to go at some point during the season. In the meantime, how are the Saints going to fill that void?
Well, they brought in Nick Fairley who had been with the Rams last year and Detroit before that. He's from the South and had a spectacular end of his college career at Auburn and was expected to do a lot better than he has done so far in the NFL. But he is happy on a personal level. And I think anybody who's worked in any job understands sometimes it is possible that, you know, personal happiness can affect your professional productivity. And I think that the Saints are hoping that that will be part of the equation with him. He's looked pretty good. They had brought him in really to kind of rotate in and not necessarily be a starter, but to rotate in behind Rankin. But he's elevated his game so far. And with Rankin's going down, he's fit in nicely so far. But the problem is, you know, fitness and depth, you know, you really want two good guys in that position. And so right now that, you know, they're down to one.
Brett Martell joins us from AP in New Orleans, breaking down the Saints as we are less than a week away from NFL kickoff, a Super Bowl rematch next Thursday. You can listen to the game right here on TSN 1260. Brett, you talked about the line of scrimmage, and you look at their offensive line with Armstead, Lolito, Unger, Pete, and Strife. Top to bottom, like, are they a B offensive line? Are they a C offensive line? Are they maybe a B that's moving towards an A throughout the season? How would you rank their offensive line?
Probably a C-plus that might get up to a B.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, it's like they just extended Max Unger, who's a really good center. Teron Armstead is one of the best left tackles in the league, but, you know, he's been hurt and a little bit brittle. So there's no telling what kind of shape he's going to be in. It's not supposed to be a serious injury, but he missed a lot of practice lately. He obviously did not play in the last preseason game Thursday night. So they'll hope to have him back for the opener on the 11th against Oakland. At guard, they're struggling. Andrew Speed was drafted as a tackle in the first round in 2015. He had a hard time getting on the field until they moved him to guard late in the season to fill in for injured players. And this preseason, he's practiced at both tackle when Teron Armstead was injured and at guard, where they want him to try to start because they don't want the number one draft pick not playing in the second year in the league. So they're trying to figure out how to work him in. They say his talent's off the charts, and yet at the same time, somehow, I don't know if there's if he's just not getting it on some sort of mental level or toughness level, but they're still waiting to really see him be a force on the offensive line, whether it's in the interior or on the outside. But right now he's just not good enough to outplay 11th-year veteran Zach Strief at right tackle, so they're trying to have him play guard, where they have a couple of young guys who are So and Tim Lolito and Cineo Calamete.
Now, looking at their schedule for the Saints, it's, you know, in their division anyway, I think most of us would believe it'd be a major shock if they could win the division. Do you think they can be the second best team in their division?
They have a chance to be the second best team, you know. But this is just me personally. If you're asking me, put my money where my mouth is or something, I would be inclined to say that this has the potential to be the worst season in the Peyton era and that they could finish last in the division. And it's just because it's not that they're not moving in the right direction coming off of last year, but they're very thin. They had salary cap issues that haven't helped in terms of building depth. Now, they've been able to do some maneuvering. That extension with Max Unger is going to help them sign up Paul Kruger, and maybe he'll work out, you know. But the Browns cut him, so, you know, there's no telling where his game's at and how much he's going to really help in terms of, you know, being a pressure pass rusher. But it seems like Tampa Bay, to me, and Atlanta are going in the right direction faster than the Saints are, and that no one in that division is really close to Carolina. But those are just my general impressions from, you know, having covered this team for 11 years. And, I mean, it really is impossible to tell. I mean, there's a lot of things that could go right, and there's a lot of things that could go wrong. And it just seems like right now it's tending towards a tough year.
So, Brett, if you look at that, that would be three straight losing seasons then for Peyton. Who's who's to blame? Because, you know, it all depends. Some organizations, you know, the coach has a lot of say at the draft. Other organizations, the GM has more say. How is it in New Orleans, and who's responsible for this team now going from, and I know it was a four-year run of being great, but to being now subpar for what looks to be the third straight year?
Yeah, well, I would say that it's a combination of Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, who are kind of like the binary leaders of the club. You know, it's not a very strong ownership position right now, just because Tom Benson, you know, he's I think he just turned 89, and I could be wrong, could be 88, but either way, he's a little more frail than he had been, you know, when he first bought the team in 1985, and even through the 90s and early 2000s. So he's put his wife, Gail, in charge of a lot of stuff. She doesn't have a sports background, so she relies heavily on Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton to kind of run the whole operation there on the football ops side of things. And so when you look at, you know, Sean has a tendency, I think, to be a little bit impulsive.
Okay.
And, you know, in terms of creating an offense, I mean, I think everybody, he's like universally regarded as a genius. But, you know, he can be impulsive in terms of personnel stuff, messing with the defense sometimes when things aren't going right. And you saw how things fell apart with Rob Ryan there. And then Mickey Loomis, you know, between Sean and Mickey, they have had some draft picks that haven't worked out, and they've had some big contracts that haven't worked out that caused salary cap pressure that prevented them from getting the kind of depth they need when players don't work out to maintain the same level of success. So those two are primarily responsible. But the thing is, those two are also running the show. And so they're really only accountable to themselves. And so if things don't go well this year, I wouldn't expect any changes in the front office or in coaching, especially not after Sean Payton got a lot, you know, very lucrative extension. I mean, they'd have to pay him. They fired him after this year. They'd essentially have to pay him about $36 million to go away. So that's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, not. Yeah. Yeah. So I was just kind of curious because, you know, good organizations don't always just make massive changes, right? And I find that you go into a little bit of a downspin. It's rare, like the Patriots to do what they've done this long in the NFL is, you know, very few organizations do it. It's just, you know, it's tough. You see a lot of teams go up and down, but New Orleans now, like once you get past the 3 or 4 years, then suddenly you're almost now into becoming a little bit of a perennial loser once again.
Well, I mean, they're going to have to deal with that reputation if it doesn't go well this year, because it will be three straight losing seasons, and especially if, you know, like I suspect, they dip to their first double-digit loss season in the Peyton era, which would be 6-10. I mean, they were nearly there last year. They won 3 out of their last 4 games just to get the 7 wins and avoid the 10 losses. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't help with Drew Brees turning 38 in January. I mean, he'll be 37 this season. He looks good, as far as I can tell, but he's probably a little more prone to injury if he takes a beating behind that suspect offensive line and a little slower to recover from injury because of his age. So there's just a lot of things that can go really wrong. Now, if they have good luck with injuries and they're able to come up with some blocking schemes, you know, some fullback and tight ends, shipping good pass rushers and the other team and everything, and, you know, getting it together in that way, then, I mean, if all those things come together, plus lucky bounces and fortunate referee calls, I think they can have a really good year. But, you know, beyond that, I think they're going to have to deal, like you said, with that reputation of kind of being a perennial loser again. But they do kind of believe in that, you know, in this regime with Mickey, and he's told me this before, they believe in stability, kind of like the Steelers model or, you know, the San Antonio Spurs model, say. And so, and of course they, you know, Mickey Loomis is involved in the New Orleans Pelicans. So anyway, I think they're going to, like you said, they're going to go with that stability model and try to weather this down period and hope that they're able to, you know, get it back up within the next year or two.
Brett, we really appreciate the rundown. Thanks for your time.
Oh, you got it. Anytime.